I'm thankful to still be able to be up and about. I have a subject matter upon my mind that, like it's so usual, it will wind up being far more than I will be able to handle. I'll read two or three places to start with, and you can get the idea that it's a rather big subject. Starting from the second book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I pause to give you time to find it if you want to. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. I'll read a few verses there. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. I'm using this to start with to give an idea for you to think about. So many times the word heaven is used in the Bible, but so many times so many people only think of one thing when the word heaven is mentioned. Here the Apostle Paul at least says he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, if words have any meaning at all, there is an indication that there was a first heaven and a second heaven, because Paul is now mentioning the third heaven. Now, it's not my intention this morning to try to tell you with great detail heaven number one, heaven number two, and heaven number three. The main emphasis that I want to get over is not every time the word heaven is used are you talking about eternal bliss and glory where the saints will live eternally. That's the main point I want to get over, is that you can get it in your mind, that you can read the Bible and oftentimes find the word heaven, and it's not talking about the end of time and where people will be spending eternity. That is one main point. If I don't get any other thing said, I would be happy if people could get that point in their mind real well, to understand that every time you see heaven, it's not necessarily talking about the place where God's people will spend eternity. This is rather strange language here. People could possibly call Paul on the verge of insanity. Start talking about something like this. A new man. Don't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. He even speaks about coming to visions and revelations. And evidently, connected with that, he has reference then to a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. God knoweth. It'd be very interesting sometime if somebody has enough intelligence to answer the question, what man did Paul talk about here? He even says it, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He gets right, just definite, as far as his definition here. Without beating around the bush too far, I'm going to just simply say, I think Paul was talking about himself. He was the man that he didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. And I don't know for sure just exactly where that may have taken place, and I don't have the ability to find out when 14 years was before the time this was written to the Corinthians. I just simply don't know for sure when he was talking about. It could have been in his experience on the Damascus Road, because that was certainly something so marvelous and remarkable. On that particular time, he heard a voice that nobody else heard. The other people heard some voices, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. I tell you, you get really caught up in some of this, and people think you're off beam, won't they? A preacher that would talk about something like this could be called of being wacky, out of senses. How many of you ever knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, you don't know a thing about, can't describe it? Let me mention this just real general-like. Raise the question, have you ever been there? Have you ever had experiences that you heard a voice? Have you ever had an experience that you really just didn't know what was going on, but it went on anyway? You didn't know whether you were in a dream or a trance, or you were just laying in a whole lot of meditations going on in your head. And sometimes I have difficulty deciding whether I was just meditating or whether I was dreaming. Have any of you ever had anything like that? And help me if you do, think you have, because it makes me feel a little bit better. Because I confess that I have had such experiences myself. And if I'm crazy, I'm just crazy. But if I am, I think I can justly say the Apostle Paul was too. He even had the accusation made of him on one time, "Much learning hath made thee mad." In other words, you've learned so much you've become crazy. That's what somebody said about him. I don't have to know as much as the Apostle Paul for somebody to sometimes think I'm crazy. But regardless, we have this expression, "New man." Caught up to the third heaven. I'm going to deal some more with visions and revelations. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 40, I think I will only read a verse here. Chapter 40, verse 2. "In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of a city on the south." I would invite you sometime when you had a whole lot of time to just read a lot in the book of Ezekiel. First of all, let's just mention this about this particular place here. He tells us a little bit about it in the opening verse of this chapter. "In the 5th and 20th year of our captivity." Where was Ezekiel when he wrote this language? He was in captivity. He was a long ways from Jerusalem. But he says right here, "In the visions of God, in the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain." This same idea of his being a long ways off and having some visions, he had a great number of them in this chapter. I mean, in this book of the Bible. The idea that I'm going to just get is that visions are not all that rare. They were often among God's people in the past. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, even though it sounds silly. I think it still works on the minds and hearts of God's people today. I think they have visions. I think they have the ability to experience some strange transportations. Now, before I get through, if I can get anywhere near where I want to get to say is, I want to say to you that sometimes when you're sitting at church on these benches, sometimes through God's wonderful grace and mercy, you are transported from out of this world. Now, that's crazy, I know. But I believe it just as strong as I know how to believe it. I believe that there are some times that we're caught up into the glorious mercies and mysteries of God that we could just almost forget where we are and who we are and just be swallowed up in the amazing love of God. I believe that. We'll turn now to another place just to get some ideas of what we're talking about. Revelation book, chapter 21. It's probably the next to the last chapter in the book, maybe. Yeah, there are 22. The 21st chapter of Revelation. Verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, here's some names of more heaven. But this is not all he saw. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I want to just now turn over to verse 10 of this same chapter. That's skipping a lot, but I certainly don't have time to deal with everything in the Bible any time. And this time particularly, I don't have time to fool with all the things that's here. But verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I want to just make a quick summary of one thing. The experience that Ezekiel had is the same experience that John had. I need to also emphasize this. At this time when John was carried away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he was shown Jerusalem there, we need to be reminded, where was John physically? He had been exiled. He had been banished and stuck on a little island a long ways from Jerusalem and in a way that he couldn't possibly of himself transport himself there. I want you to just see that, get that thought real good. And yet, he was carried away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. And he was showed the great city coming down from God out of heaven. What I'm trying to edge up to and be as plain as I can as I get there, when we're blessed in the Spirit of God and we gather at His house we can be sometimes caught up in the Spirit of God and being able to see more about the Church of God than we have ever seen. And the fact of the matter is, when Paul made his references about it, he says that he saw some things and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. It's not against the law to utter good words, but it's beyond the power sometimes to say what we would like to say. I'll make this as a little fun stop. I don't usually make statements like this, but this one's going to come handy. So I'm just going to make it. And I don't mean to be necessarily throwing a curve, but just to state it. Masons have a secret that they will not tell you. Old Baptists have a secret they cannot tell. I've been trying to tell some of these secrets all my life. I haven't got them told yet. You take the experience of the Queen of Sheba. She went to see Solomon's temple and buildings and to see him and to just to be acquainted with something about him. And after she got there, had experienced the various things that she experienced, she wound up saying, "The half hath not been told." Now remember that. It didn't say they got to the halfway mark. It simply said, "The half has not been told." They hadn't even got halfway to it. Did you know, and I don't mean to say this with anything except just simple truth, this is the way I've lived my life trying to preach. The half has never been told. I never have got it all told. I never even got the halfway mark. It's always just a little bit here and there. And I have never really finished. I've always had to just stop. Unfinished. There was always more that could be said. One of the, hit this as I can, a little bit more experimental, a little bit more reaching to you. What is it about church that's attractive? What is it about our gathering that makes it worthwhile? Why do we want to come and sit down together, sing, hear preaching? Why do we do this? I tell you right quickly, when you get through explaining it, you'll be wondering whether you're in the body or out of the body, as far as fully explaining all of the whys and the wherefores. I want to go to church, but I never have been able to tell you everything about it. I have not run out of what to say. It's just how to get it said. I think I'll turn to the songbook. Sometimes it can say things easier than I can. Song number 238. In this book. If the other book's more handy, it'd be song number 545. But I brought this one because it's handy. Number 238 in the old school hymnal. It's a familiar song. We have even sung it. But have we really paid attention to what it said? Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. Just look what that's saying. It's saying a mouthful. When we come together, can we say the whole assembly is worshiping the Lord. Are some of us in a daydream or something beside being in the worship of God? But it certainly is delightful when we can feel that we're gathered together. And that is quite an expression there. You can have a gathering and not be together. Have you ever thought about that? You can have a mob gathered, but they're not really gathered together. The whole assembly worship Thee. At once they sing, at once they pray. They hear of heaven and learn the way. Isn't it wonderful to recognize our service? At once they sing. At once they pray. We oftentimes have one person to lead the prayer. But that doesn't mean that's all the praying that's going on. Or certainly ought not to be. Everyone in the house ought to be having a prayer in their heart too. The next verse of this song has a very close meaning if we will look at it. I have been there and still would go. 'Tis like a little heaven below. Now, I told you a while ago that there's more heavens than the one eternally. Right here's one of them. Right here, right now, where we're gathered together, is a little heaven below. Now, you may not always recognize that, and you may not always feel that, but it is. And it's a wonderful feeling when we have had the experience and be able to say, I have been there. I have experienced that little heaven here below. And like it said, I have been there and still would go. I hadn't got tired of it. I'd like to keep on going. Just like a little heaven below. Not all that hell or sin can say shall tempt me to forget this day. Have you ever been at the house of God and things went so well that you did not want to forget it? But we're human beings, and we do sometimes forget what we did not intend to forget. That's the reason why it's so necessary for this first part of this little verse. I have been there and still would go. I need to have a reminder. I'm so prone to forget. And that whatever thing comes before us, we can have the desire that it shall not tempt us to forget this day. Continuing, O write upon my memory, Lord, the text and doctrine of Thy Word, that I may break Thy laws no more, but love Thee better than before. Aren't those sweet words? Isn't it wonderful to have that kind of a desire? I wish I had more memory. I'm thankful for what little bit I do have. I'm thankful that I can right now say, oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I'm even thankful to be able to say a place in the Bible that I can't even quote, but I can turn to it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And if it doesn't say what I think it does, I'll be ashamed. But I think it says something good. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Some of you may have already found it. Here's the way it reads. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I want you to just stop and think about what this verse is saying. I would say it this way. Let your mind go wild. Just think of anything you can think of. Think of the greatest and most wonderful thing you can think of. And then read this verse again. It says, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God knows everything. He knows above what we ask or what we think. See, it's no wonder that it's indescribable. I can't think of this other one exactly, except it's in the book of Peter. It speaks about joy unspeakable. May even say with it, full of glory. But regardless, what I'm trying to bring is some verses that tells you, you cannot tell all about what God has done for you. You can make all the efforts you want to make, but He's done more than you can tell. And you may not want to admit it, but He's given you good thoughts about Him. And He has given them to you when you were not expecting it. I don't know a whole lot about dreams, visions, and trances. I have difficulty separating them. I have difficulty of separating reality from vision and dreams. But if I'm in that shape, I'm very close to what the Apostle Paul was saying. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of body, I don't know, caught up into the third heaven. Saw and heard things. And let me say it another way. Just think about it from the standpoint of your experience. When you went home to the church, and when they gave you opportunity to say whatever you wanted to. When you got back home and thought about it, couldn't you think of some other things you would like to have added to it? That you really didn't get it all said? That's what I'm trying to get at. You have greater experiences than you will ever be able to tell. You've had greater revelations given to you than you will ever be able to discuss in fullness. And all of this, when you can come down to it, is some of the experiences of a little heaven here below. I hope that we can come to have a better understanding of our inabilities to tell what we would like to tell. And when we do that, watch this for, because it's a good thing. It's at least one of the preachers that will like. You can have a lot of sympathy for a preacher when you can recognize you can't tell all about it. Well, he can't either. He makes his effort. He does his best, but he does not get it told as well as he would like to. That's the reason I've said it time and again. I don't get through. I just reach a place where I have to stop. today, regardless of the time on the clock, I've reached a place that I'm going to quit, knowing that I can't tell it all, but I've enjoyed making the effort today.